Well, the last time I was with you, we talked about the hospitality of God through the baptism of Jesus. And during this one moment within the life of Christ, we investigated how God's hospitality is about grounding folks to Him and to others. This practice of hospitality is God's proclamation to humanity that our Creator always has and always will love us. We belong to Him. We were created within His image, and God never experiences a moment where He doesn't desire to be in a relationship with us. God extends to us, friends, His forgiveness before we even know that we need it or ask for it. I love that aspect of God's hospitality. And while that was just one aspect of His hospitality, we also discussed how God's hospitality is about extending God's promised blessings to all who are willing to accept them. These promises are provided so that each of us can be empowered, equipped, and enabled to live a faithful life of service to God and others. And then lastly, we examined yet another aspect of God's hospitality by considering the opportunity for new beginnings. You know, beginnings, or more accurately, I should say, new beginnings, are deeply entrenched in the character of our Creator. And when I say new beginnings, I'm talking about those kind of beginnings that changes the trajectory of one's life from chaos and confusion and lack of continuity to a life of purpose, a life of passion, a life of pursuit of God's blessings and wisdom. While most of the people I know live lives with a passion, pursuit, and purpose toward careers and financial goals, God's hospitality, remind you, God's hospitality invites us to be about all things that have eternal outcomes, not temporal outcomes. And what I hope we were able to glean from that sermon is how these aspects of God's hospitality should guide our identity and practices in hospitality. For every person, good, bad, indifferent, is capable of being hospitable. But all who are professed Christians have been given a specific spirit of hospitality designed to further the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ. And that is what we're about. Amen? And when I talk about having a spirit of hospitality, I'm not implying that there's a different spirit than the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about a spirit that encourages us. Most of you have probably practiced hospitality by extending food or lodging to someone, right? And I'm talking about something actually more than just that simple practice. But there is an important aspect, I guess, of that practice of hospitality that I want to highlight regarding one's intentionality of showering their guests, whether that be family or friends, with love and attention. I like the way one theologian said it. He says, usually we go above and beyond to make our guests feel loved and make them feel at home. And by doing so, we invite our guests into our fellowship, into our attribute, or into our affections. We make room in our lives for them and their convictions, even though there might be temporary inconveniences and or sacrifices to ourselves. You know, hospitality is about inviting folks into our personal space with love. This is a godly form of a spirit of hospitality. Now this morning, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that I believe supports this understanding. So I want to invite you to join with me, for the you at home. For those of you at home, you can see it on the screen before you. For those of you here in person, it'll be on the screen behind me as we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you brought your own Bible, starting in verse 12 through 31. I'll be reading from the Common English Bible where it says, Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts, and all the parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, or slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Certainly the body isn't one part, but many. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, does that mean it's not part of the body? If the ears say, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, does that mean it's not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, what would happen to the hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, what would happen to the sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed each one of the parts in the body just like He wanted. And if all were one and the same body part, what would happen to the body? But as it is, there are many parts, but one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or in turn, the hand cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. Instead, the parts of the body that people think are the weakest are the most necessary. And the parts of the body that we think are less honorable are the ones we honor the most. The private parts of our body that aren't presentable are the ones that are given the most dignity. These parts of our body that are presentable don't need this. The parts of our body that are presentable don't need this. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the part with less honor, so that there won't be division in the body, and so the parts might have mutual concern for each other. So, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part gets the glory, all the parts celebrate with it. You are the body of Christ and parts of each other. In the church, God has appointed first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, the ability to help others, leadership skills, and different kinds of tongues. All aren't apostles, are they? He asked. All aren't prophets, are they? All aren't teachers, are they? All don't perform miracles, do they? All don't have gifts of healing, do they? All don't speak in different tongues, do they? All don't interpret, do they? Use your ambition to try to get the greater gifts, and I am going to show you an even better way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you please join me in a short prayer? Holy Lord, we come this morning and are grateful for your word and the instruction that it gives, the edification that it offers, and the insight that it gives to each of us as we journey in our life of faith, regardless of where we are. Your word never returns void in ministering to our hearts and souls. So I ask today, Lord, that regardless of where we might be in our journey of faith, that your Spirit will speak to each of us, and that it will encourage us, equip us, and empower us to live lives that we thought we could never live through the power of your Holy Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, you know, friends, it's kind of easy in our reading for us to become lost in the language about how the body is made up with different parts. And thanks be to God that the church is not replicas of Michael Bolin, amen, or anyone else for that matter. Yet, we see that each of us are significant in the body of Christ, regardless of our gifts and graces, regardless of being introverts or extroverts. Now, I feel safe in believing that each of us know this truth, but it's in the last verse of our reading that I want to concentrate upon. Verse 31, do you remember it? Let me share it with you again. Use your ambition to try to get the greater gifts, and I am going to show you an even better way. Have you ever pondered what the greater gifts might be? A gift that is going to impact you personally in a better way of living? I believe that greater gift is the spirit of hospitality. Now, some of you will say, well, preacher, that's kind of a stretch. Well, maybe for you, but not for me. Because hospitality is a repeated theme throughout all of Holy Scripture. We can read about it in the beginning of the Old Testament with Abraham and Sarah when they extended hospitality to the three men who would eventually destroy Sodom because of their lack of hospitality. Even a harlot named Rahab is preserved by her acts of hospitality. We could also read about it in the story of the widow and Elijah. And while we've already recapped God's hospitality at the baptism of Jesus, what about Jesus' hospitality when he washed the disciples' feet? Then in Romans, Paul says that one of the qualifications of being a leader in God's church specifies a lover of hospitality. Even the Apostle Peter writes about it in his first epistle in chapter 4, verses 9 through 16, instructing all of us to use hospitality to one another without grudging. As every man has received this gift, and every woman, I will say, even so minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And that's a little bit of a Michael Boland paraphrase. The spirit of hospitality is seen in practice with Paul and the jailer in Acts. It's also going to be a practice of heaven, if you've ever read the book of Revelation, especially in chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, which states that the crowns received to each of us will be given back, laid before the throne as an expression of our thanks and glory unto our Lord. And listen, friends, this is just a few I came across while I sat in a cigar bar by myself and wrote this sermon in Key West. I encourage you when you go to home to Google it for yourself and see how many other vast experiences of hospitality there are within Holy Scripture. Now, going back to our text, I think it is relevant for us to know that verse 31 is not a conclusion to the prior verses. If they were, then many theologians like myself would believe that the last verse would have started with the word therefore, to bring about a summary or completion of the foregoing texts. Rather, what we see in that verse and the last sentence of that chapter, and the last sentence of the verse 31, it begins with the word and. So Paul is encouraging us to understand that our final verse of this chapter is looking forwards, not backwards. Paul has something else, something more to express, something greater for us to see. And we see it within the first verse of chapter 13. You might recall, that is the chapter of love. The first verse says, it is love. And friends, I want to remind you that hospitality is an expression and work of love. Again, just as the gifts and callings of each believer are unique to oneself, so is our practice of hospitality. My goal as the pastor of this church is to encourage each of us to find our ways to live out this spirit of hospitality corporately as a community of faith. But if we do not see it in Scripture, nor believe it within our hearts, it will be a void practice within our expressions of faith individually as well as I found a cute video that I wanted to share that I believe exemplifies what I'm trying to communicate about a spirit of hospitality. Nathan, can you play it for all who are at home as well as for those who are present?
We are having taco night. So if you like to eat, you just come over and you're welcome to get it. You hear me? I called it a union answer because I think you're busy. But anyway, we are having taco night. Goodbye.
Now, that's a video from and go and find. What I like about it is that Miss Maria, the mother, tried to get a hold of her son through traditional means, but she did not get a response. And instead of getting angry, she decided to get creative with her invitation to dinner by going to his house and leaving a message by video on his Ring doorbell at her son's home there in California. Maria begins by saying, in case you didn't hear, we're having tacos night, so if you like to eat, just come over. It is both hysterical and heartwarming that this mama wants her son to know that he can eat free food at her home. I love how Maria went out of her way to love her son. She was not going to miss the opportunity to extend kindness and hospitality to him. And many times in life, brothers and sisters, you and I are called to go above and beyond to love others for the sake of Jesus Christ. It's not always easy, but it is honoring of the Lord and loving to the person whom we are ministering to. Again, I hope and pray that we're beginning to see the significance of hospitality in the life of this congregation. Because hospitality starts here. It starts right here. For it is the prelude to our worship and service of life. What we do here on Sunday mornings, friends, is not the climax of our religious practices. No, this experience is to prepare us mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and relationally to be the person God wants us to be in experiencing and practicing the greater gifts, the gifts of hospitality. So I'll close this sermon by asking you just a few simple questions. Question number one. Is there a person who you need to go out of your way to love today, like Maria did with her son? You know, the Bible's full of examples for all of us to follow in expressing the beauty of hospitality that lets all know, all on my paper with a capital A, capital L, capital L, and quotation marks, that they are loved and valued by us and by God. So I want to encourage you today, I want to encourage you this week, brothers and sisters, to share your gifts of hospitality to all you come in contact with. Because if you do, you will make an eternal difference, not only in their lives, but in yours as well. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.